Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1 for me. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Today being Mother's Day, I want to first off just say, I want to honor the women in my life, starting with my mother. My mother's here today for Mother's Day. They've moved here back in February. It's good to have my mom and dad here, but I honor you, Mother, my mom today. So also, yeah, well, okay, thank you. Also want to honor my wife, Kelly, who has been a mother to our two sons and has done an unbelievable job and loving our two sons. So I honor you today as well, Kelly. Love you. And certainly my mother-in-law, she's not able to be here today, but I want to just give a shout out to Joanne as well and thank you for her. Amen. But again, there's a lot of women. It's not just a motherhood thing, but it's more of a woman thing that I want to talk about this morning and get into that category of the women. Now, men, that doesn't mean you guys can just get up and leave, because all of us can, we can apply this to our lives. But I want to talk about a particular person in the Bible, a character in the Bible named Hannah. And if you're taking notes today, I want you to write down next to her name, a woman of faith. I want to talk about Hannah today and her life a little bit. I've talked about her before in years past. It's been several years ago, but I feel like that she would be a good subject to talk about here today again, because she was such a woman of faith. She was such a godly woman, and so today, ladies, women of faith, I want to bring encouragement to you all today. I want to encourage you as we celebrate you today. All of the women here today, over the years, you've spoken over our lives, you've spoken into our lives, you've loved us, you've cared for us, you've nurtured us, and you've been a role model in so many ways, and we thank you for that. And even mothers, you have mothers, and so we can also relate to that. So as important as we hear so many times godly male role models are, we also understand the extreme importance of godly female role models. So women of faith, I want to challenge you today. I want to encourage you today. I want to inspire you today. Women of faith are so needed in this generation. In this broken world that we live in this broken generation, God is calling you, woman of God, to also be a woman of faith. And I want to inspire you to that today. One of the role models, as I mentioned, is a woman of faith. Is named Hannah. As we're looking in 1 Samuel this morning, she, if you're not familiar with Hannah, was the mother of one of the great prophets of Israel named Samuel. And her story is told in 1 Samuel and also another part of 2 Samuel, the first part of it. So a little bit of a backstory here. Hannah was married to a godly man named Elkanah. And Elkanah had two wives. Back then, they were just gluttons for punishment, I guess. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Elkanah had two wives. One of them was named Hannah, and one of them was named Peninnah. Now, Peninnah had a ton of children. She was just popping them out left and right, boys and girls, all day long. Hannah, barren womb. She couldn't have babies, no matter how hard she tried. She just couldn't conceive. And so this sets up this story for us, where there was this little bit of a competition, and Hannah had a barren womb. As we look at this story, I want to look at five different things, ladies and men, that we can take from her life, that we can walk out of here and say, okay, she was a great role model of a woman of faith. I want to be more like that, either a woman of faith or a man of faith. And so let's read, if you will, in 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we're going to take the first 8 verses, and I'm going to read the story through today, but I'm going to break it up in pieces where we can grab hold of it. So as you're looking at 1 Samuel chapter 1, I want you to write this down. Before we put the scripture up, before we read anything, I want you to write this down. Women of faith endure real problems. Write that down. It's on the screen. Women of faith endure real problems. I want to read to you this real problem that Hannah was struggling with. It starts in verse 1 of chapter 1 of 1 Samuel. It says, there was a certain man whose name was Elkanah, and he had two wives. And one was called Hannah and the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. And year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh. And whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife, Peninnah, and to all of her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. Because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival, which is Peninnah, kept provoking her in order to irritate her. And this went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Her husband Elkanah would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you so downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons?" Well, there's a lot of pressure putting on her right there. You know, the fact is that none of us, men or women, are exempt from problems in our life. How many has never had a problem? If so, raise your hand and I want to talk to you later on and find out what sort of bubble you've been living in. You see, Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 33, these words, "In this life we will face problems." Not we might, we will. We'll face problems. You see, Hannah's problem was first, she had actually a couple of problems. As we read this text here, we look in verse 5 that one of her first issues that she was dealing with is she had her womb that was closed by the Lord. She could not get pregnant. She tried, but she couldn't. And by the way, in that culture, a barren womb was considered somewhat as a sign of being cursed, and a fruitful womb was having children was a sign of being blessed. And so she was dealing with this whole sense of, "God, why am I cursed? I feel like I have a heart for you. I'm seeking after you. I'm trying. I'm living for you. And yet I can't have this baby. And I'm being viewed by other people as cursed, as less than. I need to contribute to my husband and to his well-being and to his future and to our family dynamic here. But I can't. And yet here's Peninnah over here. And she can't not get pregnant, you know?" So it just began to play on her mind. And it began to play on her emotions. And I imagined her struggle as she tried to figure out what was going on. She was probably asking questions like, "Why is God keeping her from being blessed? Was it something that she did? Was God mad at her? Did God not care?" And I'm sure we've all asked these sort of questions in our lives before, as we've gotten real before God and say, "God, are you mad at me? God, do you not care about me? Don't you realize the situation that I'm in right now?" And it could be that you're not having a barren womb. It could be that you're in a difficult marriage. It could be that you're struggling with some physical issues. It could be that you're dealing with something in your past that you brought into your adulthood that is just you just struggled with. Maybe there's an addiction issue that's going on in your life and you just can't seem to break it off. It could be a number of things that you're struggling with, and you're crying out to God saying, "God, don't you hear me? Don't you care?" And it seems like that the walls God's just strangely silent, that you're praying and it's just bouncing off the ceiling, all the prayers that you pray. I don't know if you've ever felt that way, but I know I have. Can anybody say amen to that? See, nothing seems to be happening on our behalf. What's going on? See, that's what Hannah was going through. What's going on? This wasn't just months. It says year after year. So this continued on for a long time. It didn't really say how long, but it was years. And adding fuel to that fire of that one problem was that she had what the Bible describes as a rival, Peninnah. This gal, the other wife, taunted her year after year for not being able to have children. And it constantly, as we read here, brought Hannah to tears, and it caused her to lose her appetite. And so there was an emotional aspect to that that impacted her physical well-being. How many's ever lost your appetite over something, you know? It's that whole idea. That was constant for her. Every time she saw the little kiddos running around and she saw she had none, and then Peninnah would mock her and taunt her, she would lose her appetite. She would be stressed out. She would worry. She would be crying. I don't know if you've ever been taunted like that. I don't know if you've ever been made to feel less than respectable, less than valuable, less than worthy. I know that there's been times that I felt that way growing up in my life and different relationships that I've had. And I'm sure we've all been talked down to and made to feel less than that. I got to let you know something. It says here, it's not coming from that person, by the way. Even though we can look at that person and say, "Well, that person's being mean to me or disrespecting me or whatever." We got to realize that the root of all that, the source of all that, it's actually found in Revelation chapter 12. Verse 10, it says that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And we have to understand that he uses circumstances and people to accuse us of things that maybe are not even true in our lives. Even if they are, though, I choose to not live in that dynamic. I choose to live in what God is redeeming me from, right? And I can have someone speak into my life and say, well, you're this, that, and the other. But I say, but yeah, but God's word. In my mind, I have to say, but God's word says this. In my heart, I have to rehearse what God's word says and not let what people say to me or about me impact my life and who I am in Christ, right? Because you see, we know that Satan is the accuser of their brethren, and he's going to say to us, constantly accusing things, demeaning things, things to put us down, and he tries to convince us that we're less than valuable and less than worthy, but we also have to understand that the Bible talks about Satan as that he is a liar, and the truth is not in him. In fact, lying is his native tongue. There's never anything that he says to us or about us that's true, because he doesn't know the truth. But I'm so glad that we know Jesus Christ. And he is the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And he has set us free from those bondages and from those lies of what people have spoken over us. Amen? And continue to speak over us. So here's Peninnah saying these things. And Hannah is getting stressed out. Hannah is losing her appetite. Hannah is not doing well. But let me remind you today, if you're in that situation right now where you've lost your appetite, say this, so to speak, where you're struggling, where you're fearful, and when you're feeling like, I want you to lift up your eyes to the hills which cometh your help. And I want you to be reminded of what God's word says about you today. And I want you to rehearse those things over and over again, no matter what. And walk in the truth of who he is and what he says and what he knows about you. Amen? So what can we learn from Hannah's life today as we face real problems? We must realize that women of faith and men of faith are not without problems in this life. The righteous often suffer as well as the unrighteous. Think about Job. Read that whole book of Job. It's pretty rough. And Job didn't do anything wrong. But yet, there he was. In Genesis chapter 16, if this story sounds familiar, it's not unlike what Sarah dealt with when she suffered ridicule from her handmaiden Hagar for being barren. And we know what happened with that. But we should not let others deter our trust in the Lord. Amen? You see, Hannah could have used her barrenness and mistreatment from Peninnah as an excuse to be bitter and mad at God and mad at others. Yet year after year, as we read in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 7, that Hannah continued to worship the Lord. Think about that. That's a key. She didn't say, I'm not going today. I'm not going this year. God's let me down. God doesn't love me. God's forgotten about me. So why should I go and worship him when I begged him for a child and this lady keeps taunting me? It says year after year, she continued to be faithful. She continued to trust in the Lord. She continued to worship him. You see, women of faith have problems just like other women, don't we? Men and women, all of us together. But what distinguishes those other people that have problems from us, ladies, as women of faith, and this is the key, is that it's what they do when they're faced with their problems. Again, all of us have problems, but what do we do when we're faced with them? What is our choices that we make? Let's continue to read, and we'll find out what Hannah did. Starting in verse 9, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 9 says, once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting in his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow, saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all of the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. That's a Nazarite vow, and you can check that out in another study that you would like if you want. Just write that down on the side, say, what's a Nazarite vow? And you can study that. That's also Samson was that guy. It was another one that was like that. There's others that are like that in the Bible. But let's continue on with our text. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. And Eli thought she was drunk, and said to her, how long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine. This lady can't win for losing. She's sitting here with a heart before the Lord pure, saying, God, just give me a child. I'm making a deal with you here. I promise I'll give him back to you. And here's the pastor. I mean, suddenly me coming and say, what, are you drunk today? No, I'm just praying. Just Unbelievable. Eli. And so she said, not so, my Lord. I'm not drunk. I'm a woman who is deeply troubled. I've not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. So back off. Don't take your servant for a wicked woman. I've been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Eli answered, oh, well, if that's the case, go in peace. And may the Lord God of Israel grant you what you've asked of him. And she said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. And then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. So there was a transaction that took place there that changed her countenance. It changed what was going on in her heart. She felt a relief. She got the blessing from the pastor or the minister or the priest who was representative of God. And something happened. Something just clicked inside of her spirit. It's like, oh, I'm going to wash my face. I'm going to go eat something. I got my appetite back. My countenance has changed. I'm no longer downcast. I've got hope in me. I think God heard me. And I really feel like there's something that's getting ready to stir here. And so from this second thing that we can learn, we realize that women of faith, and write this down, this is the second lesson that we can learn. Women of faith extend vibrant prayers. That was a powerful prayer. Women, as Richard said a little bit ago when he opened up, there's nothing like a praying mama. There's nothing like a godly praying mama. There's nothing like a praying woman. Hannah's prayer, if you read this prayer, it includes a lot of things going on in this prayer. There's bitterness of soul. It started off with that way. Weeping and anguish. That was in there too. She was offering a solemn vow, that Nazarite vow. She said, if you'll give me this son, I'll give it back to you. She had some persistence going on. She never stopped believing that God was going to do what he was going to do. She prayed from her heart. She prayed from her soul. There was this deep faith in God's promise as a result. A lot of stuff going on in that prayer. Now, all of this was fervent. It was all passionate. She didn't approach God half-hearted. She didn't come in lackadaisical. She didn't come in without faith. It wasn't a, now I lay me down to sleep sort of prayer. She pressed in. She poured herself out. She gave it her all. She did all of this with a deep faith in God, knowing that God was hearing her, knowing that in God's time and in God's way, things were going to turn out all right because she was in the palm of God's hands. So what can women of faith learn from Hannah's example? Well, women of faith, they pray fervently. That means, when you think about fervently, that's kind of a, what does that mean? I kind of picture that as like passionately, feverishly. You ever had a fever for something? It's like, I got the fever, you know? I got to have it. She's like, oh God, I need this. She's just passionate about it. She was fervent about it. James 5:16 says for all of us today, the effective fervent prayers of a righteous person avails what? Much. You don't just kind of fly in there and say, hey, I'm going to give it a lick at a promise. And, you know, hey, God, if you hear me, that's fine. If not, I'm cool too, whatever. I mean, you grab hold of the horns of the altar. Ladies, you ever done that? Guys, you know what I'm talking about? I mean, when you want something bad enough, when you're passionate about it, when you're pressing in, you say, I'm holding on. And I'm even in the middle of a storm, and I'd be, you know, this lady talking about me, and I'm taunting me, and I got, you know, this barren womb going on, and this priest accusing me of being drunk, but I'm not going to let go here. Because I'm believing you, God, for something that is impossible for me, but not impossible for you. Ladies, you need to pray like that for your sons, and for your daughters, for your spouses, for your people in your life. Don't give up. Don't give up. Do not give up. The effectual fervent prayers of a righteous praying woman availeth much. Woman of faith, rise up and be a woman of prayer. Passionate prayer. Pray persistently. Don't you dare give up. Colossians 4:2 says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. I will not give up. I will not stop. I don't care what the circumstances look like right here. I'm going to keep praying. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to be persistent. And man, pray in faith, in God's power. By the way, you can't muster up enough faith. You and I can't muster up enough faith. Faith is a gift from God. So you got to even go to him and say, God, I don't even have the faith to believe this. You're going to have to give me the faith to believe it. And then that way, when God finally answers the prayer, you can't walk around and say, it was because I had faith. He might take that thing back from you. Say, wait a minute, you know. We don't need to be walking around saying, I got a lot of faith, so God answers a lot of my prayers. No, God has blessed you with all the faith that you need to believe what God's going to do for you, okay? We can never take credit for anything in our lives, ever. God will not let you take His place. Last time I checked, there was only one person on the throne. His name is God, and there's not enough room for anybody else. And so we're going to give Him the praise and the glory and the credit for everything. So God, give me the faith to believe that my child is going to be okay, that my spouse is going to be okay, that You're going to take care of them. You give me the faith. So when it happens, I'm going to give You the glory for it. God, thank You for giving me the faith to believe it. And You just use me as a person who's going to believe in You and call those things that are not as though they were. And I'm going to speak that my child is saved, that my spouse, my husband is saved, that my family is a household salvation saved, that I'm going to believe, Lord God, for what I can't see with the physical, what I'm having a hard time believing because it's been decades. But I'm going to trust You, Lord God. Give me the faith to believe it. Amen? Amen? Amen. You see, Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently. Say that word with me, diligently. Say it again, diligently seek Him. Oh, come on, ladies. Are you hearing me today, women of faith? You see, women of faith believe in the effectiveness of prayer. Regardless of the circumstances, they believe in God. God takes notice of this kind of faith. How many could attest to that, ladies? Amen? And God will respond in His time and in His way, which leads us to our third lesson that we can learn from Hannah today. Turn with me, continue on in verse 19 of 1 Samuel chapter 1. Now this is after she washed her face and she got her countenance up and she ate a little bit and she was doing good. And then verse 19 says, they rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife. They had intimate relationship, and the Lord remembered her. And so it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. Here's the third thing that we can learn today, ladies, women of faith. Women of faith experience God's provisions. Write that down. Come on, let's give God praise for that, amen? We can experience God's provisions. Women of faith experience God's provisions. So what were Hannah's provisions? First, to think about this. First, that the Lord remembered her. Now, it wasn't that the Lord forgot her. Hannah who? Oh, Hannah. No, that's not it at all. He never forgot her. Ladies, God has never forgotten you. You can almost read this as, instead of that the Lord remembered her, that in the fullness of time, God answered. Or God acknowledged and honored her persistence, her passion, and her faith. God remembered her. Here's the thing. Ladies, listen to me this morning. God knows who you are. God knows where you are. And God knows exactly what you're going through. I'll say it again. Ladies, listen to me. Satan would tell you otherwise. God knows who you are. Say, God knows me. Say it, ladies. Say, God knows where you are. Say, God knows where I am. And now say, God knows what I'm going through. Say it. Exactly. No one else may understand it. No one else may care. God does. God understands it. He cares. He's very, very into you all the time, okay? He hears those deep cries from your heart in the midnight hour, ladies. He's with you at 2 o'clock in the morning when you wake up out of a deep sleep and you start thinking about that thing again. He's with you right there. And maybe He's prompting you to pray, right? But He's there with you. You don't wake Him up at 2 o'clock in the morning and say, oh, she's up again. He's already there. He hears your heart's cry, that deep anguish in the midnight hour, in your lonely and dark times, when no one else may seem to understand or care. God completely understands, and God deeply cares for who you are, for where you are, and for what you're going through. Ladies, He always remembers you. Ladies, He's always with you. Ladies, He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Ladies, He knows what you're going through. And in the fullness of time, if you'll continue being persistent and faith-filled, God will answer you. I promise He'll answer you. Because other provision, the other provision was that God gave Hannah a son whom she named Samuel. Did you know what Samuel means? The definition of Samuel means heard of God. She named Samuel what she experienced God did for her. God, I know you heard me. So I'm going to name this child heard of God. Ladies, I want you to know something. God hears you today. God hears you today. God remembers you today. He loves you today. He calls you tenderly by your name. You are His, ladies. You are God's. And in His time, He'll answer that fervent, persistent, faith-filled cry of your heart. By the way, you can't just tell Him what to do. You have to understand that you pray in His will. Is it God's will that your spouse, that your children are saved? Yes or no? Yes. Then you know you're praying in God's will. But now, sometimes, is it God's will that you have $1 million show up in your checking account tomorrow? Some of them will say, well, yeah. But we don't know if that's God's will, right? We got to be careful to pray in God's will. We can't tell God what to do. But we know there's certain things that we can pray in God's will. And that being, Lord, I know that you have said in your word. So if we pray God's word, then we know we're praying in God's will. That God, it's your will that no one will be lost, but that all will be saved. No one will perish, but that all will be saved. So I'm going to believe you for my spouse, for my children, for my grandchildren, for all the people in my life, that household salvation. You know that God's going to honor that, right? Romans 8:28 says it this way, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. He will provide for our needs, but not necessarily our wants. We can't tell Him what to do, but we let Him pray through us, and then His will be accomplished. In Hannah's case, I don't know what your case is, but in Hannah's case, she received a son. Anybody in here looking for a son? Ladies, some of you grandmas are ready to go again on this? Maybe not, okay? All of a sudden, we're back to like the story of Sarah again. Right? So, wow, it's a miracle. You know, it's 9 months from now, we'll have a full nursery, you know? Yeah. So, see, and all the ladies that are beyond childbearing years are going, yeah, that's the thing, that ain't going to happen. Hey, remember the story of Sarah and don't, just be careful what you pray. That's all I'm saying, all right? All right. So, Hannah received a son that she had longed for. But she had also made a vow, that Nazirite vow we talked about. And as we look in verses 21 through 28, I want you to write this down, ladies, because here's the fourth lesson that we can learn from Hannah today. Women of faith excel at keeping promises. They excel at keeping promises. Now, this is an important thing for us to focus on here, so listen up. Stay with me. We're getting ready to land this plane here in a few minutes. Now, the man Elkanah and all of his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah didn't go up this time, for she said to her husband, not until the child is weaned. So basically when he's about 3 years old. Then I will take him, that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever. So Elkanah, her husband, said to her, do what seems best to you. Wait until you've weaned him. Only let the Lord establish his word. Then the woman stayed and nursed her son until he had weaned him. She had weaned him. Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with three bulls, one ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here, where you accused me of being drunk, I'm out of that part, praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore, I have also lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. And so they worship the Lord there. You see, Hannah promised to give her son back to the Lord. If you give me a son, I'll give him back to you. And that's a lot of ways where this is one example of how we use that as when we dedicate our children to the Lord. By the way, if you have a child, no matter how old they are right now, if you haven't dedicated your child to the Lord, it's not too late. Happy to do it with you. We'll do several if you want to. But dedicating our children to the Lord is so important. That's what Hannah did. Even before she got pregnant, she said, if you'll give me a son, I'll give him back to you. And she planned to keep her promise. And not only did she plan to keep her promise, but ladies, this is the key. She actually carried out what she promised. And she worshiped the Lord. So here's what we need to be careful of today. Because you see, it's tempting sometimes in the face of greed or convenience or personal comfort to renege on our promises. Guys, I'm speaking to you as well. To be men and women of our word is important. You see, God takes vows and promises very seriously. And if he does, then so should we. Amen? You see, Hannah could have changed her mind. She could have. She had the prerogative to do so and keep Samuel for herself. But she didn't. She saw the importance as a woman of faith to be a woman also of her word. We can learn from this that we also should keep our promises, our vows. The Bible even says in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 that God has no pleasure in fools who don't keep their vows. Listen to this in Ecclesiastes 5 verses 4 and 5. It says, when you make a vow to God, don't delay to fulfill it. He has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vow. It's better not to make a vow than to make one and not fulfill it. So if you make a promise, and it's not just to God, but if I can just expand this, if you make a promise to a person, you know, it used to be back in the day, remember, gentleman's agreement, handshake sort of thing? That was just like your my word is my bond sort of thing? Not anymore. I mean, we're in this generation now where you got to have every little contract signed and everything crossed and dotted, and, you know, even then they find a way to wiggle out. But as believers, we're to be men and women of our word. And when we say we're going to do something, we do it. When we say we're going to show up, we're going to show up. And when we do it, we're going to do it with all of our heart, as unto the Lord, right? We don't just walk away out of convenience or greed or whatever. We just change our mind. We make our promises and we keep them. The Bible even says as Christians that even our yes and our no's are solemn vows. Look at this in James chapter 5, verse 12. Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or anything else. All you need to do is say simply yes or no, otherwise you'll be condemned. I mean, if you say yes, I'll be there, yes, I'll do that, or no, I won't, stick to it. Right? I mean, just stay with it. I try to be dependable. In my life, I try to be a man of my word. I've not always been perfect in that. But you know what I'm saying? Has anybody ever come to you and said that they're going to show up at a certain time, at a certain place, and do a certain thing? And where'd they go? Right? They don't show up. You ever had a person come to say they're going to come and fix something at your house, for example? And you're there all day long, and they never show up. They never bother to call or nothing like that. You know? And that's just an example of what I'm talking about. But if you say you're going to show up for work on time, employer and employees, show up for work on time. If you got to clock in at 9 o'clock, be there at 9 o'clock or just a few minutes before. Work the whole time. You made a promise. You made a commitment. You made a vow to your employer. I will work from 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. Not 9:05 to 5, you know, to 4:45. I'm not going to ease in and coast out. I'm going to give it my whole time that I committed to you. And nothing has changed. And I'm going to give it my all the whole time I'm there. It's just being a person of your word, keeping our vows no matter what. In every area of our life, it's an act of worship to the Lord. Did you know that? When you keep your vows, when you say yes and no, and you stick to that, it's an act of worship to God. Have you ever thought of it that way? We don't do it begrudgingly, but we do it with thanks and gratitude. Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do, whether word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's that act of worship that I'm talking about. Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So, rather than belabor this, I'll say it one more time and we'll move on. Be a man or a woman of your word. That's what Hannah was. That's what Jesus is. Aren't you glad that Jesus did what he said he was going to do and he did it? He didn't change his mind. He's not reneging on anything. God is a God of his word. Jesus is a man of his word. He's our Savior. He's doing what he said he would do. Let's be that example to others. Amen? To our husbands, to our wives, to our children, to our grandchildren, to our employers, to our neighbors, to total strangers. Let's be men and women of our word. It's an act of worship to the Lord. Finally, we can learn this fifth thing from Hannah. It's found in chapter 2, and it's the first 10 verses of it. That women of faith express their praise. Write that down. women of faith expressed their praise. I'm not going to read to you the whole prayer because it goes into a lot of different things, but I want to read to you the first verse or so. It says, "Then Hannah prayed and said, 'My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted up. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance.'" Folks, I love this prayer. As you continue reading on, you can see that not only Hannah was praising God with great joy in her heart because of the answer to prayer and all that had gone on to finally come back around to full circle. She was praising the Lord for his help. But if you read the entire prayer, she ultimately was declaring in this prayer that God is in control and he's in charge over all the earth and his people and its goings on. We read here, we start reading this chapter and a half story, and we think, wow, what a great story. From chapter 1 to about the middle part of chapter 2, we covered it in about 30 minutes or so here. And we're encouraged by it. This arc from beginning to end, from the barrenness to the celebration, from the lack to the provision in just a few verses, from her agony to despair, up to celebration and joy. In just a few moments, we read that, but real life isn't that way, is it? You know, we watch these movies, we watch these television shows where you see the problem and they work through the process and then it's good at the end. And we think, oh, that was a good 2 hours spent. I feel really good that they solved that problem. But real life isn't that way. Things are not resolved in 2 hours like that, right? I mean, it's not resolved in 30 minutes. Sometimes it takes years. If you've got to keep in mind that the story that we just read, it took years for that to finally come about. Many times it does take years for things to resolve, for prayers to be answered, for life to be sweet again, if ever. But God is still the same God today as he was yesterday. Amen? And he's also going to be for all of us the same God for all of our tomorrows. Amen? God is faithful. God is true. God is good. All the time. And just because we don't get that answer today doesn't mean that he won't answer it tomorrow, or that doesn't mean he won't answer it in the years to come. But that's where our faith grows. That's where the experience in our walk with him sweetens and deepens and gets enriched in our lives, when we walk it out with him, knowing that he has got his hand on our life and he's not going to let any... If he takes care of a sparrow and he knows when that sparrow falls, if he knows how many hairs we have on our head, some of us more than others, he certainly takes care of every situation that we're going through, and he's not abandoned us. Remember when Jesus said that we're going to have troubles in this life in John 6:33? I left the last part of that. I didn't say it intentionally because I want to save it for right now. He says, yeah, you're going to have problems. But then he said, take heart. He said, take heart. Don't be in despair, because I have overcome the world. Come on, let's give God praise for that. Amen. You see, what Hannah did, we must do. When God answers our prayer, we should rejoice in the blessings that we've received. But even if God doesn't come through like we think that he should have, or in the time that that we think that he should have, we must still rejoice, because God's word says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord how many times? Always. And again I say, rejoice. It's an act, it's a constant heart attitude. It's not based on circumstances. It's not only when God comes through. We rejoice as a matter of our heart and lifestyle. I will rejoice because the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Rejoicing and giving thanks to God may or may not change our circumstances outside, but it does our heart good, and it keeps our perspective on the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen? So as we land this plane today, we see in Hannah a woman of faith. She's in the Bible to remind us, all women today, of faith. That, yes, all women of faith endure real problems. No one is exempt from hardship in this life. But I am thankful that God is with us through all of our struggles. Amen? Women of faith, they extend vibrant prayers. They're passionate, they're patient, and they're faith-believing no matter what. They're grabbing hold of the horn of the altar, and they're vibrant and passionate in their prayers. Women of faith experience God's provisions as a result of that, as they press in. God's going to meet our needs in his time, in his way. Women of faith excel at keeping promises. God takes vows and promises very seriously, and so should we. And women of faith express their praise. They rejoice in the Lord, and it keeps their perspective towards God's greatness and God's goodness, because God is worthy of all of our praise. And it is good, the Bible says, it is good to give thanks to the Lord. Would you stand with me this morning and let's give God thanks in this place? Would you just lift up your hands this morning and let's give Him thanks? Father God, we express our praise to You. We thank You, Lord God, for these women of faith in this place today. We thank You, Lord God, for our moms and for our aunts and for our grandmas and for the other women that have spoken into our lives over the years that have brought us to where we are today. And we want to thank You, Lord God, for the women in our life that You've blessed us, the women of faith. But Lord, I speak over every woman in this place, Lord God, that You would raise up women of faith more than they are now, Lord God. I thank You for the women of faith here at Faith Assembly. But I pray, Lord God, that You would take this lesson today, this message today, this example of Hannah, and that we would be the women of faith that You called us to be, that we wouldn't give up, that we would press in, that we would rejoice in You, that we would be women of our word, that we would pray without ceasing. Lord God, knowing that we're going to face problems, but knowing that You're with us every step of the way, I speak, Lord God, to faith to rise up in each woman in this place, and that we would see the women of faith be women of faith in this community, in our families, and for the rest of our days until You take us home. Lord, I pray, God, I thank You today for the women in this place. And I pray, God, that You bless each one. Lord God, I just want to thank You for the women of faith, for all that they do for us, for all that they mean for Your kingdom. And I pray, God, for protection, for blessing, and for strength, and for endurance, and for the anointing, and for provision, Lord God, and for Your favor, Lord God. I speak that over each woman in this place today. And Lord, all those things that they've been believing You for, Lord, that they've been doing like what Hannah did over the years, and it seems like that the walls, that the sky is brass, and it's just bouncing up. Lord God, help us to not give up. Help us, Lord God, to not be weary in well-doing, but Father God, that we would pray, Lord God, in faith believing and trust in Your time and Your way, that You will come through. Oh God, we thank You today for household salvation. Oh God, I pray for sons and daughters, for prodigal sons and daughters. Let them come on home, I pray. Lord God, for husbands and wives who are just kind of skirting around and playing around and not serving You, God, convict them of their sin, I pray. God, let them be the priests of their homes that You called them to be. Lord, let us not give up. Oh, women of faith, I encourage you today. I admonish you today. Don't give up. Don't you give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. You keep coming to the Lord like Hannah did. You keep praising the Lord. You keep believing. You keep pressing in. Hallelujah to Your name. And in due time, in God's time, and in His season, Father, we declare in the name of Jesus, for Your kingdom's sake, for sons and daughters, husbands, to come on home. Oh God, we claim household salvation. I thank You, Lord God. If you've got a husband or a son or a daughter or a grandchild that is straight away, I want you to just right now lift up your hands and say, Lord, I give them to You. I just give them to You. Lord, I'm going to trust You with them. One more time, and as long as it takes, today again, I give them back to You. I'm not going to fret. I'm not going to lose my appetite. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to let Satan taunt me and say it's never going to happen. I'm not going to let him accuse me and tell him I'm wasting my time. I know that the effectual, fervent prayers that I'm praying to You are going to avail much in Your time and in Your way. And I declare that my child, my husband, my grandchildren are saved, thus saith the Lord. I thank You, Lord God. I thank You, Lord God, right now we dispatch Your Holy Spirit to those people that we're praying for right now. Our husbands, our children, our grandchildren, those that are on our heart, Lord God. I pray that You would convict them of their sin. I pray, Lord God, that You would help them to know how much You love them. Oh God, that they would have their eyes open and their ears open and see their need for a Savior, and that they would find that way of escape that You would give them, and that they would run to You, Lord God. We thank You, Lord Jesus, today. We thank You, Lord Jesus, today. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, Lord. 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 Women of faith are women that praise. Come on, women of faith. Let me hear you praise right now. Come on. Praise. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to your name. Mm. Lord, let this be the year. Let this be the month. Let this be the week. Let this be the day where our people, our loved ones are saved. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Satan, release your hold on them in Jesus' name. All of your lies, in the name of Jesus, we bind you. We take authority over you. Lord, speak truth. Speak your glory. Speak your love. Open up their eyes. Oh, God, minister to them right now. Release them from the chains that are binding them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on. Come on, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Come on, women of faith. Let's believe in God. No matter what. Now, let me just say it one more time. In your midnight hour. And a midnight hour is just not when you wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning. Your midnight hour is when you get that report again where they're still ugly to you. They're calling you up. They're doing stuff to you. They're acting out still. That's your midnight hour. This is, wait a minute. I'm not receiving that in Jesus' name. Now, that may be what you're doing now, but in faith, I see you as the man of God that God's called you to be. In faith, I see you as that child that I raised up that had a heart for the Lord when they were younger, and they're coming back. That's your midnight hour. And that's where the enemy would say, it's hopeless. But that's when you say, no, nothing is hopeless. I speak life. I speak salvation. I speak God's purposes in their life. No matter what. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give God praise one more time. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Women of faith, be encouraged today. And continue to be the women of faith that God's called you to be. We need you. The church needs you. I need you. We all need one another, but women of faith, there's nothing like you. Thank you for being the backbone of this church, for the backbone of my life. Right? Right, men? All right, men, your turn is next, coming up on Father's Day, okay? All right. If you need Jesus in your heart today, and you won't walk out of here, we just talk about the Lord save people. Maybe you're like, well, that's me. You don't have to walk out of here not saved, not forgiven of your sins, not cleansed by the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ. He's here today to forgive you. It doesn't matter what you've done. You know what? You don't have to come to Him. He's coming to you, right? He's meeting you right where you are. He's right there to pick you up. Remember the prodigal son, he was walking towards, but the prodigal dad didn't just wait there at the porch saying, well, I'll do something when he gets here. He ran to him and met him. As he saw him on the dusty road coming his way. That's what God's doing for you today. Run to him and he'll run to you and knock you over with kisses and hugs. And I'm not talking about Hershey stuff like you ladies got today. He's going to love on you because he loves you. And he's finished the work. It's already been done. You just got to receive him. Everything else has been done, right? Everything. Except for the door in your heart that needs to be opened that only has a knob on the inside. He can't force it open and he won't. He can't force and won't force salvation on anybody. But if that's you this morning, I want everybody to close your eyes, bow your heads. You at home as well. And I want to encourage you today, if you need Jesus in your heart, if today being Mother's Day, you want to say, you know what, I want to give a gift to my mama today. I want to give a gift to my spouse today, my wife. I want to accept Jesus in my heart. I want today to be the day. The best gift you can give to your family is your heart to the Lord. And the best, wisest, most wise decision that you can make for all of eternity is to give your heart to the Lord. Let's put it this way. You've tried it a lot of different ways, haven't you? How's that going for you? I don't think it's worked too well. That would be my opinion, and I think I'm right. Because you see, the Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to destruction. And if you're headed that way, I promise you that it may seem kind of nice right now, but I promise you this is going to lead to destruction because that's not God's plan for your life. You're not following the Lord. Stop. Repent. Repent means I'm stopping going this way. I'm going to turn around and go the opposite direction. And I'm going to run to the Lord. How about today? That's you? With every eye closed and head bowed, if you want Jesus in your heart today and you want to run to Him and know that He's running back to you even more vigorously, lift up your hand and put it right back down. And we'll pray together a prayer in just a few moments. Say, Pastor Brian, I need Jesus in my heart. I want to ask Jesus in my heart. If that's you at home, lift up your hand right now. It doesn't matter if anybody else is there. Or even if other people are there, you lift up your hand as an outward sign to say, I need Jesus. I'm making this choice today. Yes, I see that hand in this place. Anybody else? Anybody else? Come on, quickly. The best gift that you can give, the best, most wisest choice you can make for all of eternity would be to give your life to Jesus. Anybody else? Just lift up your hand, put it right back down. And Christians, I need you to pray because souls are hanging in the balance right now. Anybody else? Quickly. If you're making that decision at home, I want you to put in the comment section right now, just lift up your hand, put a little emoji of hand raising or something. Just something, let us know you're doing it, okay? Let's all pray together this prayer, whether you raise your hand or not. I want you to pray it out loud, and I want you to pray it with all your heart. Again, this is not a now I lay me down to sleep sort of prayer. You got to press in. You got to grab hold of the holy altar. You got to mean this, okay? Pray this with me. Say, Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior. I'm the prodigal son. I'm a prodigal daughter. I've run away from you, but I'm running back to you now. Today, I repent of all of my sins. Won't you forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness by your blood, Lord Jesus? I am saved by your shed blood. I am washed clean of all of my sins. And right now, and from this moment on, I am a new creation in you. All things have been passed away, and all things have become new, because I am now a child of the King. I thank you, Jesus, that I'm now saved and redeemed and restored back to right relationship with God my Father through Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would seal this decision by filling each one in this place with your power, with your anointing, and with your Spirit. God, may we all walk out of here empowered and renewed and strengthened and encouraged and filled afresh and new with your Spirit and empowered to go out and be the salt and the light that you called us to be. Father, I expect this week that we're going to get phone calls, texts, emails, and other sorts of virtual communication that says, hey, guess what? I received Jesus this week. Father, we just declare that in Jesus' name, that this is the week that loved ones are going to come back to the fold. They're coming back. We call the prodigal sons, daughters, husbands, and all the rest of those back into your house. This is the week. We declare it in Jesus' name. And if it's not the week, we know that it's soon. Father God, we're not going to be weary. We're not going to look at the circumstances. We're going to keep trusting in you. And we pray this, Lord, in your name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Amen.